the state, of all leading cigarettes, one and only one is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. That one cigarette is Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you, if every South of you have Philip Morris smokers know, they've all changed to Philip Morris. Yes, they've all. City of New York, here is the Milton Berle Show with Bert Cousin, Jack Albertson, Al Kelly, Johnny Gibson, Charlie Irving, Billy Sands, our singing star Dick Farney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Yellow. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, in our salute to public servants, we bring you a man who has been serving the public for many years. The trouble is, he's been serving the public the same thing, corn. And here he is, Milton Berle.
You've got nothing on that line. No. Stop it. Hello.
All right, take down the sign. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, what you just said, serving nothing but corn, yes. I'm shocked. I'm literally shocked. You, of all people, calling Berle corny? Do I make jokes about you? About how thin you are? Do I tell people you're so thin you have to hold your pants up with a wristwatch? No. Do I tell people you're so thin you keep brushing flagpole sitters off your head? And that's why today you're known as the Gallup Pole? The Gallup Pole! Oh, Berle, let's face it, I'm crazy about you. Mind if I kiss my hand?
Oh, Berle, I could stand here and listen to you for hours.
You could?
Yes, waiting for you to say something funny.
Now, just a gosh darn minute, Mr. Gallup. You started it. You got me mad when you... Yes, I'll finish it. But you got me mad when you call me corny. You call me corny. That's like waving a red flag in front of a Hollywood producer. Like waving a red flag in front of a Hollywood producer. All right, Doc. All right, stay asleep. That's what we want you to do. Mr. Gallup, now, please. Will you, from now on, watch those introductions?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Perhaps you like this one better.
Another one?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Milton Berle. Really? Ah, there's good nausea tonight.
Say, if I'd have known that line was going to get such a big laugh, I would have told it myself.
You will.
I know I will. Mr. Gallup, let's stop kidding. Let's be friends, shall we, please? Because Christmas is coming. Presents. Presents. Gee, I wonder what I'll find in my stockings Christmas morning.
What you find every morning? 12 toes.
12? I have 12 toes, Mr. Gallup. That is nothing but a vicious rumor started by the veterinarian who delivered me. Mr. Gallup, I want you to know that I do not have 12 toes.
Then how come when you were a baby, your mother used to run out of breath playing This Little Piggy Went to Market?
Mr. Gallup, please, that's not...
She always wound up with two extra little piggies crying wee, wee, wee all the way home.
Now, this is too much. Once and for all, I'm going to publicly prove that I do not have 6 toes on each foot. I'm taking my shoe off. That's what I'm doing.
Now,
I'm taking my shoe off.
That's what...
Lucky I'm wearing open-toed socks, you know. I'm putting an end to this slander, but I... Ooh, it's cold. I'm putting an end to this slander that I have 6 toes. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll prove it to you folks that are here tonight. There's my foot. I want you all to be witnesses as I count the toes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Yeah.
Well, what do you know? Six!
And for 20 years, I've been treating it for a corn. Now, I was just kidding, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, I have the same number of toes as anybody. 11. I mean 10. I mean, I have 3 feet. Well, let's get on before the sponsor gives me the boot as we salute those unsung heroes, public servants. Public servants. It is to the little-known public servant that we pay tribute tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to meet Mr. Fenton Geist. an inspector for the gas company. Mr. Geist has spent 40 years prowling through the city's basements, detecting leaks in gas pipes. Good evening, Mr. Geist.
Good evening, Mr. Burrow.
Mr. Geist, your job, I might say, is indeed a strange one.
Well, Mr. Burrow, we're on a job to keep the city from being blown to bits.
Mr. Geist, you seem to be working on something right now.
Oh, yes. I seem to be on the trail of a bad leak.
Ah, oh, Mr. Geist, this is the Milton Berle Show.
Oh, so that's what it is.
Thank you, Mr. Geist. I see, he's one of the wise guys. Ladies and gentlemen, the most important of our public servants are the men that we elect to service in Congress. And to clear many of the confusing problems taking place today, we are very honored to have with us tonight that clear-thinking, dynamic legislator, Congressman Clayton J. Finster. Ladies and gentlemen, Congressman Finster.
Thank you.
Congressman Finster, what is the greatest danger confronting our country today?
Mr. Burrow?
Yes?
For 15 years on the floor of Congress, I've been shouting for all of us to get together and face our flame. We are left in the deathless orbit without even a single change. They've given us such a promise that if we did run against the fall, there would be only one change. But no one will listen to me.
Congressman, will you tell us, will Washington succeed in bringing down prices?
Mr. Burrow?
Yes?
I can answer that with just one word. Lion's head. You can quote me.
I'll quote you. Congressman, I understand that they're starting a big investigation on lobbyists.
What a coincidence. You know, just last week, a lobbyist walked into my office and said, Congressman Finster, I want to give you 10,000 slides if you'll sound my pilot with alarm. He wants to give me 10,000 snides if I'll throw his silence with it live. I took it. But first, I told him,
yes.
What do I look like? Do I look like a shrimp who would raise a form and a salad? After all, I am a definite girl. And would you believe it? Today, that man can eat anything.
Well, Congressman, you've given us all such confidence. What have you to say in summing up?
Yes, sir, yes. Citizens, don't be downhearted. Tighten your snib side. Put your nose to the trigger and shake your shoulder at the gotcha farm. Remember, a bird in the hand is worth two in the slide trial. So pull your driven, throw out your figure, lift your eyes, and shout it out so the world can hear. I am proud to be a slibbin' hanger stoop side.
Thank you, Congressman Fisher.
Thank you.
Ah, Mr. Gallup, speaking of public servants, let us not forget the thousands of store clerks who faithfully serve the public every day. Remember long... Thank you. Your name and address, please. Remember long ago, Mr. Gallup, how you stood gazing into the eyes of that one and only girl behind the store window or counter as you sang...
It was a lucky April shower. It was the most convenient door. Aha! I found $1 million baby in a 5 and 10 cent store.
Sound like Amy Arborio. Ah, Cynthia. Golden memories of Cynthia. Yes, that's where I found you, Cynthia. You were the only one in the 5 and 10 cent store who looked like 2 cents. You worked, Cynthia, at the perfume counter. You sold that new perfume called Huff. Spelled backwards, it was pronounced Huff. Trustworthy, Cynthia. Whenever they took inventory, there you were. Always there. Don't go away. No good anyway. Forget about it. Cynthia. My little all-around store clerk. Remember when they put you in drugs? Then the narcotic squad came in and put you in chains. I'm gaining on you. But Cynthia, you could fit into any department store in the store. I would be funny if this is an audition and I don't know it. I never forget, Cynthia, when they put you in crockery. They had to. You were always crocked. It's the little things I remember about you, Cynthia. That last laugh I got, that was the littlest one I ever remembered. You got that sigh of relief when vacation time came around and everyone got 2 weeks, but you got 6 months in the county jail. Ah, Cynthia, when they spring you, I'll be there.
To meet the million-dollar baby from the 5 and 10 cent store.
Memphis, Tennessee, Buffalo, New York, Denver, Colorado, Portland, Oregon. Yes, from all over the country, there's news, big news. Listen.
From section after section, eminent nose and throat specialists report that in cases of irritation due to smoking, they suggest change to Philip Morris.
Yes, these top-ranking nose and throat specialists actually suggest Philip Morris because they know Philip Morris is the one, the only leading cigarette true, definitely less irritating.
Remember, the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. After all, it's pleasure, deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Rise and Shine.
You're through?
That was Rise and Shine, played by Ray Block and Phil Morris Orchestra. And Ray, you're wonderful. Your musicians are really picked. But you picked them before they were right. I'm only kidding. I love you madly. And now, as we continue our salute to public servants, we present
Public Service Forum tonight. Public Service Forum tonight. The question: should mounted police ride side saddle when chasing women drivers?
Nothing. Who's writing for you, Pick and Pat? Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Now let us proceed at once from the questions from the audience. Let's start with this gentleman in the third row holding the gun against his wife's head. Yes, sir?
Mr. Burrell, I work for the city. The men in my department have just voted you the comedian at the top of the heap.
I see. What department is that?
The city dump.
Thank you. Thank you, Lois. Now, let us go on. All right, this young man with the basket of dirty laundry in his lap. Young man, step over, please. Don't be afraid of me. What is your name, please?
My name is Mimi.
Your name is Mimi?
I'm not the one from the cabaret on the Ruby Latte.
Oh, I know, I know.
I'm the one from the saloon near the Bronx Park Lagoon.
I see.
Mimi's not my real name anyway.
It isn't?
I just took it because my real name is too common.
What's your real name?
Bongo, Bongo, Bongo.
All right, BBB. You have a question about public servants.
Why? What's wrong with being a public servant?
No, there's nothing.
You make it sound like it's a shame to be a public servant.
No, that's not
if you don't like public service, go out and clean up your own garbage. Why don't
you? I didn't.
Just because you're not a public servant, that doesn't make you a Mr. Feinschmidt.
Now, look, please.
You don't want it to wash your ugly face. Public service.
Well, wait a minute.
Who gives you the electricity so you can turn on your radio to steal jokes? Public
now,
service.
Now, wait a minute.
Who gives your kid an education so he won't grow up to be an ignoramus like you? Public service.
Please.
Ah, shut up, you big fat playboy.
Please, we must maintain order. Let us hear. Let us hear from the women. All right, this young lady in the aisle going through her husband's pockets. Getting nothing but practice. Young lady, what is your name, please?
Palula Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question that concerns public servants?
Yeah, how can I stop my husband from getting all them government jobs? He's a regular civil service schmo.
Your husband works for the government?
He was a mailman, but they fired him because they didn't like the way he dragged his bag.
They didn't like the way he dragged his bag?
Yeah, but that wasn't his bag dragging. It was him.
Oh. I get you.
What a mailman he was. He used to open other people's mail.
That's terrible.
That's so terrible. He can't read.
Well, that's different.
He used to come home from work in his uniform and ask me to play post office.
Oh, the kissing game, post office.
Yeah, only when he played, it was the dead letter office.
I understand.
For a while, he worked for the city. He was a subway guard. It was awful.
It bothered you?
Yeah. In the middle of the night, he stuck his knee in my back, shoved me through the closet door, and yelled, "Change for a local."
Why, that's terrible.
He worked for the water department. The way he plugged up leaks was amazing.
What's amazing about plugging up leaks?
With his nose.
Oh. I see, that's different.
He used to come home wringing wet. It's like sleeping with a seal.
He doesn't work for the water department anymore.
No, but he's still a drip.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you. To continue, no public servant captures the imagination like the rugged forest rangers. So tonight, the guest of our forum is that mountain of sheer brute strength and untiring stamina, Tex Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Ranger Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Boyle. Thank you for this golden opportunity of telling the public of our glorious and back-breaking work in protecting the wildlife all over the United States from certain sections of Brooklyn.
That's well. Tell us, Tex Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Bell. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way over, I picked up a handkerchief. I think I strained myself.
But, Tex, a handkerchief isn't heavy.
This one was monogrammed.
Oh, all right. Well, Tex, tell us, how did a man in your weakened condition ever get to be a United States Ranger?
Baffling, isn't it?
Yes.
You see, Mr. Bell, I have an uncle who has a lot of influence in Washington. He practically lives in the White House.
Well, he's a Secret Service man?
No, he's a piano tuner.
Tex, the hunting season is now on. I understand you yourself are one of the best hunters in the Ranger Service.
How about that? I sure can stalk animals, Mr. Bell. Yes. The boys at the post call me Slinky Featherfield. I think it's Squinty.
You must have had some exciting experiences in the woods.
Oh, yes. Just the other day, I came face to face with a bear. It was pretty horrible for both of us.
Don't tell me, Tex, you were frightened?
No, he was an old bear. He didn't have any teeth in his mouth.
No teeth in his mouth?
No, they were all in my leg. You know how those old bears are. They like to stand around chewing the pot.
Well, I guess winter is the hottest season for you rangers.
Yes, I'm usually snowbound, shut up in my little cabin away from civilization. For 24 hours a day, it's man against beast.
Man against beast?
My wife is with me.
Wait a minute, you mean your wife never leaves the cabin?
Only when there's a full moon. Then she goes out and bays at it.
Well, Tex, you rangers are always pictured as strong, silent men who hardly ever talk.
Just once in my life, I opened my big mouth and I've regretted it ever since.
What'd you say?
I do.
Thank you. Tex Featherfield, thank you. Well, here's our young singing star, Dick Bonney, to sing Serenade of the Bell.
The town of Serenity, where the starlight that upheld the town, and the gay senor and senorita, and the serenade of the bells. Seems they ask the padre for permission. The married early in the spring, but the folks had made just one condition, that the mission bells had to ring. Everyone knew the bells were broken and hadn't sounded for a long time. Then one night the village was astounded, for the bells began to shine. Till the bells are broken, goes the story. But it's to your heart, it's full of love. They will ring for you in all their glory. That's the serenade of the bells. They will ring for you in all their glory. That's the
Wonderful, Dick Farney. You know, Mr. Gallup.
Yes, is he still around?
Oh, that's good. That's clever. Is he still around?
Yes.
That was supposed to be a joke.
Yes.
You're getting to be a regular itch to bibble. So far tonight, Mr. Gallup, in saluting public servants, you know, we haven't mentioned the police.
That's true, we haven't.
What?
We haven't, and we should.
Yes, I think so, yes. Oh, gee, you're so peachy tonight, aren't you? So let me tell you. Talking about police, will you police go away, please? Will you let me tell you about an experience that I had with a policeman about a year ago, Mr. Gallup. I had just finished my broadcast, and I was, or vice versa, and I was just finishing my broadcast, and I was walking to where I parked my car when I noticed a policeman standing in front of the car. Excuse me, officer. That's my car. Anything wrong with it?
No. I think it's adorable. I particularly like the way the dark green color of the car matches this fire hydrant it's parked next to.
Fire hydrant?
What'd you think it was? A mailbox with a new look? I'm giving you a ticket.
Well, officer, I'm terribly sorry. I'll be more careful in the future.
Well, okay. At least you're not one of those smart guys. I'll let you go this time.
Well, gee, officer, that's swell of you.
Milty!
Oh, no, that voice, I know. It's Sam Harrison and his wife, Martha.
Hi, Milty. Long time no see. Yeah, the minute I saw this cop giving you a ticket, I said, I'll bet Milty's telling that big flat-footed baboon a thing or two. Isn't that just what I said, Martha?
Yes.
Sam, you don't understand. Officer,
I'm a baboon? Yes.
Officer, no, they're just kidding. Sam, the officer isn't giving me a ticket.
Yes, he is.
Officer, please.
Here it is. Be in Judge Slocum's court, 10 o'clock Monday.
Oh, officer, please. Sam, why don't you be a good fella and drop dead?
Give me that ticket. There.
Give me back the ticket.
No friend of mine has to pay a fine in Judge Slocum's court. He belongs to the SLOBs with me.
The SLOBs?
Yes, the Secret Loyal Order of the Buffalo. He'll do anything for a fellow slob.
Sam, Sam, you're a slob?
Yes.
Say, Sam, if Judge Slocum will fix the ticket
for course he won't do it for a stranger, Milty. But after you join the Buffaloes, you'll be like old friends.
Yeah, wait a minute. Join the Buffaloes?
Only $100 a year dues. And you get a free buffalo tail to wave at meetings.
Give me the ticket.
Milty, you'll love the Buffaloes. Say, Martha.
Yes?
Isn't it true? Isn't it true that since I joined the Buffaloes, I hardly ever come home at night?
Yes.
Sam, give me the ticket. I'll pay the fine. I don't want
Milton,
to try...
Milton, a man in your position can't get mixed up with the police.
Sam.
To the public, you've always been a symbol of kindness, generosity, a beloved friend. Sam. Here, you're their ideal man. Handsome, suave, devil-may-care.
Sam.
A law-abiding citizen, but a two-fisted dynamic fighter for the right.
Sam.
Milton, there's something sweet and gentle about you.
Oh, Sam, you're terrible.
And the police think they can kick you around? Laugh at the Milty.
Give me the ticket.
And to you, Milton Berle, promise to uphold the laws of the Secret Loyal Order of the Buffaloes?
I do. Where's Judge Slocum?
Give the buffalo cry.
Where's Judge Slocum?
Fellow Buffalo, do you accept Milton Berle?
Congratulations, Milty.
Where's Judge Slocum?
How do you like that, Milty? This is the first meeting he's missed in 20 years.
Sam, look, the police came for a search warrant yesterday, and they brought a search warrant. I've been living in the basement on the two tons of coal. Yeah, yesterday I fell asleep and was halfway through the automatic stoker before I woke up. Sam, for 6 months now, I've been trying to reach Judge Slocum. It will be easier to reach Judge Crater.
I know, Milty. We can't locate him. Maybe you'd better give yourself up to the police.
The police? It's gone higher than the police. Washington is investigating me. When they searched the house, they found a picture of the Marx Brothers.
The Marx Brothers?
Yes, they think the one in the middle is Carl. Sam, I can't go home anymore. The National Guard has the street blocked off. Get the judge.
Milty, I've got a room where you can hide out.
Yeah. Get the judge.
Will you change your name?
Give me the ticket. Give me the ticket. Who's it?
It's us, Sam and Martha. Open up.
Sam, tell me, were you followed?
No. What a wonderful hideaway. The cops would never think of looking here in the back of a Chinese restaurant in the middle of Chinatown.
Sam, did you bring the food? For 6 months, I lived on nothing but the smell of chow mein. Sam, I can't stand it. You got me into this.
Ah, yes. Shame on you, Milton Berle.
Sam. The name.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Shame on you, Mu Chang Bang.
Sam, look at me today. Fugitive. I have you to thank for it.
Why, you ungrateful criminal. For 6 months I've been trying to find Judge Slocum. I've never been so insulted in all my life.
Yes.
You stay out of this, loudmouth. Sam, look at me. Don't desert me. They're closing in on me. Sam, Martha, it's me, Milty. You wouldn't want to see me in jail, would you?
Yes.
Warden, get me Judge Slocum. I'm innocent, I tell you, I'm innocent.
Wait till Judge Slocum hears about this.
Hey, Bud.
Who's that?
Dave, you're in that cell. You got a match?
Yeah.
Here. Thanks.
How long you in for?
10 years. How long you in for?
Me? I'll be out of here just as soon as I can get word to Judge Slocum.
Relax, you're in for 10 years.
10 years? How do you know?
I'm Judge Slocum.
Give me back the match. Give me back the match.
Thank you.
I'll be back just as soon as I can get out of this striped suit. In the meantime,
remember this. Your type is sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. And here's why. First, you enjoy the pleasure of smoking the world's finest premium tobaccos, mellow and mild and superbly blended. And second, you enjoy the extra pleasure of smoking the one, the only leading cigarette recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. Yes, you're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. So next time you call for cigarettes, call for Philip Morris, made in America by Americans to please American taste.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We're a little late. Good night. See you next Tuesday. Good night.
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. Hello. Hello, testing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's it. 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation pipe tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.